Blinds.com is kicking off the savings early with Black Friday mega deals all month long. Avoid the home renovation overwhelm. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings is a small project with big results. And Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. It's a busy season. Skip the long lines or waiting around all day just to get a quote. With Blinds.com, shopping online doesn't mean sacrificing on quality, style, or service. A Blinds.com design expert can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. We can even handle everything from measure to install. And you can get window treatments for your whole home installed for just one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Shop Black Friday mega deals all month long at Blinds.com. Get up to 45% off site-wide, plus premium doorbusters, and a free professional measure right now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time to take command with former NFL tight end Logan Paulson and former Commanders beat reporter Craig Hoffman.
What's up? What's happening? Welcome in. Take Command postgame show. Craig Hoffman and Denton Day with me today. Step inside to Denton's office. You perhaps have seen that YouTube series on the Team 980 on YouTube. And of course, he is the producer of the Kevin Sheehan Show and a frequent host on the weekends of 106.7 The Fan, the Team 980, including Burgundy and Gold Game Day Live. Denton, what's up, dude?
Craig, what's up, man? You know, I'm not Logan Paulson, but I will do my best to fill in for him. I'm about 6 inches shorter, and I don't know how much he weighs. I'm not going to put that number on him, but I weigh less than him because I have way less muscle.
Yeah, he's a large man. You do have a beard, though, so that's you got that going for you.
I got that going for me. I don't have hair on top of my head, but at least I have it at the bottom of my head.
That's nice, nice bushy beard that Denton's got going on. All right, so the Commanders win again, 27-22. They're 7-2 for the first time since 1996. First question, Denton, were you alive in 1996?
I was alive in 1996. I was 1 year old in 1996. I think I was trying to do the math. I think I was just about to celebrate my half birthday. So my parents were still referring to me by number of months that I was alive. I think I was about 17 months.
Nice. And now he's a grown adult with a real job and shows up to work 5 days, really 7 days a week.
7 days a week.
Yeah. And look at him now. That's how long it has been since the Washington Commanders were 7-2. Reminder, they won 4 games last year. So that if they can beat Pittsburgh or Philadelphia after that or whatever their next victory is, will be double the amount of wins they had last year. And this was, to me, then just another business-like performance from Washington. This is the kind of performance that I feel like we have come to trust that they can put on. And I know that there were some tense moments in the game. I know it was not a perfect game by any means. There are definitely things where I'm intrigued to go back and watch certain things on tape, certain things I kind of already know, like, yeah, that's going to be the stuff they want to coach up. But there's also a feeling like they just toyed with New York here. Like, it felt like whenever they needed it, they got it. And to be able to have that power over other NFL teams week in and week out, I think makes me feel really good about Washington, even if it's not the cleanest, 27-22 victory.
Yeah, I mean, this was a really quality win against a team that they'd already played once. And, I lean on that to say it makes this win a little bit more impressive to me. You're not going to blow everybody out in the NFL, but you're also not going to win on a Hail Mary every single week. And at no point in the fourth quarter did I feel like this game was going to fall out of their control. Yeah, New York got a little closer on the scoreboard than I would have liked, but at no point did I think that Jaden Daniels was going to go 3-and-out and give New York the ball back. And I think that really speaks to how he is, but also the offense. I mean, Cliff Kingsbury had a couple of really masterful play calls in that fourth quarter to not only extend drives, but put up points on the board for Washington. This is one that you hang your hat on and say, we went on the road to a tough place to play, not so much for the environment because the field sucks, but you went to a division rival's home and you beat them pretty handily after they had already seen you. And oh, by the way, you've now played the Giants twice and you've punted 2 times.
That's pretty good. Pretty good against a divisional opponent. And that's the thing. Like, look around the league. Look what happened to Baltimore last week. Like, wacky things happen in division games, and especially on the road, and Washington avoided that. They went up, they handled business against a team that they should have beaten. And again, like in that fourth quarter, New York never had the ball with a chance to take a lead. They got the ball back with, I think it was 9:46 on the clock. Obviously, drive down, get the field goal. New York goes down and scores. That's less than ideal. Have to look at the tape, see what happened there. But then Washington gets the ball back and doesn't give it back. And I think there was a play. You talk about Cliff and the play calls on that drive throughout the game. They were starting to really struggle to run the football in the second half. And Cliff called an RPO in that drive. I think it was on second down, like the first down to get them going. And maybe it was the drive before, the long drive, where it like felt like the offense was starting to stall out in the second half a little bit. Running game wasn't quite as efficient. And then Cliff calls an RPO, and it pulls defender out of the box, and the running back gets a nice gain. I think it was Chris Rodriguez. And all of a sudden, they were off and running. And it just took that little bit of loosening up. But that's like the little wrinkle, where it's like, okay, we're having trouble. Diami has had a couple of really nice catches and runs in this game. Let's threaten him on a bubble. Pull a defender out, bang, big game. Then obviously they're able to just continue to ride Chris Rodriguez. And by the way, Dan, what a day for Chris Rodriguez.
Ooh, what a day.
Didn't know when he woke up this morning of whether he's going to be active or not, probably, because we're waiting to see a pregame. Brian Robinson, his hamstring, he's out. And C-Rod, just credit to him for continuing to do the work because he is not on the active roster. He's got called up from the practice squad, but I think it kind of shows the attitude of this team that the guys that stuck around from the previous regime, like, they're here for a reason because they're workers, they're grinders, they're guys that are going to be ready when their name is called upon. And Chris Rodriguez was that guy today when Eckler and McNichols couldn't quite get it going.
Yeah. How funny is it that one of the darlings of last year's offseason makes his probably best performance, most meaningful performance, week nine, a year later? You know, he was a guy that, especially in the, if you look at some of those runs, Craig, in the fourth quarter, there was contact at the point of attack, at the line of scrimmage, and he's fighting through it. And there was a couple of third and shorts, second and shorts, where he's really gaining those extra yards by just not stopping his feet. And it feels like sometimes that's running back 101, like never stop your feet. But then to actually see a guy do it against a defensive line that has a bunch of really good dudes on it. You know, say what you want about the Giants as a roster, but their defensive front is one of the better ones that you're going to find in the NFC. And to see him have that kind of performance against that defense was incredibly impressive. And it really speaks to the depth that this team has at that position. Maybe not the sexiest of names in the world. Like, I don't know that most fans outside of this city know who Chris Rodriguez is, but we know who he is. And now the Giants know who he is because he had a hell of a game today.
He did. And they're, we talked about this on the pod earlier in the week. Like, their defensive personnel is good. And pass rush wise, they are one of the best in the league. And by the way, congrats to the Commanders offensive line and Jaden and the whole crew today that combined to prevent the Giants from getting a sack. They led the NFL in sacks coming into the game and probably still do. They had a 5-sack lead on Denver, who had a bomb scare against Baltimore today. So I'm guessing that they're still in the lead. So you got that, but the Giants were the fourth worst team coming into this in EPA per rush. And like Cliff kind of, you could tell he knew that he just had to keep running it and eventually something would work. And it was, in that long 5.5 minute, almost 6 minute drive where they get the RPO, like, oh, that's the thing. Well, now all of a sudden the defense is a little discombobulated. Then they're running GT and you see Coleman coming around and pulling, and then they're running draws and they're running dive and they're running inside zone. Like, they just have everything in the playbook, and to continue to find it. And then, I mean, the call of the game to me is in that 2 minute drive. First of all, man, if we're a Giants podcast, I would be shredding Brian Daboll.
Oh, my God.
What is he doing?
Awful.
2:48 to go. You get a stop on first down. It's 2nd and 9. Call a timeout. Instead, they let the play clock bleed all the way down. So now Cliff has a free play. The clock is stopping after that play no matter what. And so Cliff is like, well, if it's an incomplete pass, it doesn't matter. Begs for play action. They hit play action. Zacchaeus for 42 yards. And the game is all but over at that point because Washington's already in field goal range. And then they're able to continue to run it with Rodriguez and run out the clock. But it's just a mind-bending, type of decision that NFL head coaches make all the time. And how nice is it, Denton, to not have to deal with that here anymore, because Dan seems to be on top of most of that stuff, along with the guys like Dave Gardy up in the booth, who they hired this offseason because they pay people now.
Yeah, if Dan's not on top of it, somebody else is. You know, Brian Daboll handled that like a college coach. You know, I cover college football, Craig, as you know, and they implemented the two-minute timeout this year, and nobody knows how to deal with it because they're not used to it. You have to call all your timeouts before the two-minute warning, because you want to squeeze as many plays into the shortest amount of time as possible. You gain nothing from holding those to get to the other side. Ultimately, I don't know that it would have mattered in the long run. I would still trust the offense.
They needed to stop, but you know, you got a better chance of doing it on second and nine when you know they're running the ball than any other situation they encountered the literal rest of the drive.
And they got faked out by the personnel. You know, I was looking at this as it was happening, and the camera for Fox showed Terry and Luke on the sideline. I'm like, all right, Terry McLaurin's on the sideline. They're bringing a bit more of the big bodies in. And I love the formation that they were in, and they just got completely faked out by the play action. And OZ's wide open. I know he wanted to score. Oh, I could tell by the way he was running, because I thought he was going to catch it and just get down, like keep this thing moving. He wanted to score a little bit. I can't blame him, but he was so wide open. It was a brilliant play call by Cliff, but you're right. If we cared about the Giants, if we liked the Giants, he's going to get eviscerated tomorrow on the rate. You have to know better. And if you don't know better, you have to have somebody on your staff that understands how to call time.
Blinds.com is kicking off the savings early with Black Friday mega deals all month long. Avoid the home renovation overwhelm. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings is a small project with big results. And Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. It's a busy season. Skip the long lines or waiting around all day just to get a quote. With Blinds.com, shopping online doesn't mean sacrificing on quality, style, or service. A Blinds.com design expert can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. We can even handle everything from measure to install. And you can get window treatments for your whole home installed for just one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Shop Black Friday mega deals all month long at Blinds.com. Get up to 45% off site-wide, plus premium doorbusters and a free professional measure right now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Timeouts and when to do it.
Yeah, I mean, the guy that you work with, that was always the joke here for 20 years. It's like, so one of these coaches, you just hire Sheehan to do timeouts. He seems pretty on top of it. Yeah, it's absolutely wild. How about this first stat, flipping sides of the ball here on Take Command. The Washington Commanders defense has now entered three straight fourth quarters with the opposing starting quarterback having under 100 yards passing. They held Dalton to 96 yards passing total in the game against Carolina. Caleb obviously had 36 going into the fourth last week. Famously, I don't remember how that ended. And then you have this week where Daniel Jones had, I think, 56. Now, some of the fourth quarter stuff clearly needs to get cleaned up. For a team that emphasizes finishing, that is not good enough. But for any consternation people want to have about the defense, and I know you have a little bit that you want to get to, I think it is worth pointing out a team that earlier in the year gave up a ton to Baker Mayfield. Obviously, Lamar had a field day. Man, the last 3 weeks, have they been ridiculously good to have that level of consistency. I don't care what offense you're playing. They're NFL offenses. Under 100 yards passing. For the quarterback, by the way, that's not even counting sack yardage, which they've had in all of those games. That is really, really, really impressive stuff.
You know, I'm excited to see how some of these guys end up grading out. I think Mikey Sanders still played a really good game, and I think he's really kind of come into the position of being asked to do a lot more very, very well. You know, Benjamin St. Juice is kind of hit or miss. Like, he is very much a box of chocolates. Sometimes you're going to get one of the really good chocolates, and sometimes you're going to be like, Grandma, why is this even in here? And I think you see that on a regular basis, but I do think that they defensively played very, very well. I was like kind of bummed at that turnover fumble situation because of the pass interference. I thought that was a great play by Quan Martin, but they're coming into their own at, it's almost like a good time, Craig, but also a bad time, because you don't want to do too much to where the team's like, all right, well, we clearly we got a trade deadline in 2 days. We're not going to make any sort of movement if the team's really not that good, but also you don't want to suck. So like it's kind of that catch 22 sort of thing. I still think they needed some help at that position, but guys are starting to get more comfortable with a new scheme and a new defense. And I think that's really starting to show. Obviously, as you mentioned, like you listed the quarterbacks, not a lot of them are scaring most teams, but you're playing in the NFL. And as we have said multiple times, anything can happen in this league. And if you're doing your job and you're stopping that from happening, that's a good place to start.
Yeah, on the trade stuff, and we'll obviously have more reaction to this as the week goes, not only here on Take Command, but on Team 980, on 106.7 The Fan. Like, we're going to be all over this stuff. Trade deadline is 4 o'clock on Tuesday. So when I get on the air, I will have the answers, not because I have any special inside information, but because the deadline will have passed by the time the Hoffman Show starts on Tuesday afternoon. But the thing about that with this crew, I don't think Adam Peters is looking at one game being like, never mind. Like he knows what BSJ is, and BSJ is a maybe slightly above average second corner at best, and probably more close to like an average second corner. Like he knows he needs a number one corner. And if he can find one for the right price, he's going to go get that guy, but it's going to have to be the right guy that they feel like can plug in their system. And like, they have an understanding about that. They're not going to pull the old William Jackson, hey, let's take this man to man corner and stick him in his own scheme because it's the same. He's just playing cornerback. Bad job on that. So like you're not going to get that nonsense. You're going to get someone who's a good fit, who they feel like they can implement. And I agree with you. Like Sandra still is continually getting better, but like I'm bummed about the PI call, but it's the right call. And there's a couple of other times in this game where Sandra still shows like, it'd be better if he was probably inside and not outside on Malik Nabers. St. Juice, again, like I thought Mark Bullock had a really great tweet. And part of the reason that, you know, St. Juice is often so close and then just doesn't finish those plays as he takes like an extra one or two steps. So he's all over the guys. He reads it so well. And then, No. I did, by the way, hate that PI call on him late, but then everyone's just going to say that I'm a St. Juice apologist, but whatever. if he could not be playing number one corner, this team is a lot better. And I think that is something that I've never argued and nobody ever should. And so I think that is something that is definitely worth watching going into the deadline. We've heard multiple insiders, Diana, Garofolo, on down the list, say that Washington knows that they have a weakness at corner. They also would like to add an edge rusher and might sniff around at wide receiver. So like they live in the real world. Unlike I think a lot of previous teams that we've covered here, that's good. I know you want to talk about the run defense though. So what obviously they had some really nice movement. They had the one really long drive early in the game. What do you make of where this run defense is right now for as good as they were against the pass for 3.5 quarters again?
Yes. I mean, it was a real bummer. I mean, that's the best way to describe it in the first quarter. I think as the game progressed, they got better. I mean, the Giants ran for 115 yards in the first quarter, and they finished with 164. So, like, the final three quarters, you handled that well. And I thought specifically in the third quarter when the Giants were still, like, in that position where they were going to try and run the football, but they knew they probably should have been passing. I thought the defense played that really well. But it really stung in the first quarter just watching them 4 yards, 5 yards. Daniel Jones keeps it 20 yards, right? And then 4 yards, 5 yards. It felt like they didn't have an answer. And the Giants are a good running team. Tyrone Tracy's really come into his own lately, but they're not a running team the caliber that Philadelphia is in a couple weeks. So it's one of those things where you're watching and you're like, why does this continually happen? So I was really disappointed, but at the same time, like I'm smart enough to realize they got better. And as the game progressed, they did get a little bit better, but I was not thrilled with how that first quarter went. I think if you need to get 115 on your noggin in the first quarter to realize you need to stop this, that's probably not a good sign when you start playing teams that are actually good in other facets of offense.
So I really want to check the tape on this to see if there was a change after that big long drive to go, okay, we're okay giving up some here, but that was ridiculous. Are we going to rotate someone down in the box? Are we changing our personnel? Are we just getting lucky because Brian Daboll on the next drive called, like, they went 3 and out and 2 were pass plays? It's like, thanks, buddy. Good job. Excellent work out of you again. No notes. But I also just think they know, like, the Giants can't score like that on a regular basis. And sometimes you have to just play the game. And I think this is something Dan has been really good at this year, is understanding the game in front of him. And whether it's the first Giants game and some decisions where he's probably a little more conservative on fourth down than I would have liked, but he knew the Giants didn't have a kicker. And so playing the field position game, where the Giants had to go all or nothing because they couldn't kick field goals was maybe the smarter play. Just like, hey, let's rack up field goals of our own. Obviously, he didn't want seven of them, but it worked out in the end. But I think in this particular case, like, the Giants aren't good enough to drive the length of the field 5 yards at a time and not commit a stupid penalty or call one pass play and get sacked. And that's exactly what happened on basically every other drive in the middle, you know, two quarters of the game. And so at some point you just go like, okay, fine. If you're going to beat us with the way that we're playing the run with no chunk plays, because that's another thing. Outside of the one Daniel Jones pull, I don't think there were any real chunk plays on the ground in this game. So you're going to have to do it 5 yards at a time. Eventually, we're going to get you for a two. Now you're in second and eight. If we can get you again and you're in third and five, well, now you're in our terms because you are so bad offensively that third and five is actually not good enough. And so I think that it's a strategic decision. And what I need to see the tape for is to confirm that was, did they stay in more two high structures with seven in the box, or were they bringing an eighth man down? Like, that's the kind of stuff that's really fun to discuss on Tuesdays. And Logan and I certainly will. Or did they just play better after that first drive? Because that was frustrating. But at no point during that drive was I like, oh boy, this is going to be another long day at the office, which is how I felt in every single game last season.
There was that one play or that one segment of plays where for whatever reason, they decided to throw on that drive. And then they lost 6 yards because that's kind of what the first four throws were like in second and 16. And then they ended up somehow getting a first down out of it because like the Luvu jumped off sides. I did see periodic flashbacks of like, oh my God, please. Like, this is so last year. But then as you mentioned, like they got better. And honestly, the best thing that I saw on defense was Dante Fowler Jr.
Yeah, you know, he's been great.
I told Linnell this when we were doing our in-game show. He's playing like the best pass rusher since Kerrigan, and you know, Kerrigan was never like elite of the elite, but he's definitely on route to get 10 sacks this year, which is something Montez never did. He came close a couple times, but never did. Chase never did it. So if he can get 10 sacks, I mean, he's playing lights out. And he had a couple of other opportunities just getting really good rushes, didn't result in sacks, but kind of forcing Daniel Jones to move around a little bit. I think he's been a really good acquisition this offseason.
Yeah, he definitely has been. Man, that play on the goal line hurts though. The Jones TD run. That's a good highlight for DJ when they do the welcome back DJ when he's the backup quarterback in you know, Timbuktu next year. I don't know. I just didn't want to put that on any
in the Canadian league, the XFL.
Yeah, when he's he'll be in the NFL. Well, he'll be a backup somewhere next year. And whenever he is, and they say, welcome back, Daniel Jones. That one will be in the highlight video if they want cheers from the crowd at MetLife. anything else that you wanted to touch on before we get out of here?
I really do think the offense played well. Like, just from a full perspective, like we talked a lot about the two-minute drill, but I thought Jaden looked really good again this week, which is kind of par for the course, it feels like, at this point. But there were some throws that he made. There were some decisions he made. I mean, I pity the fool that tries to tackle him in the open field in the backfield. You know, you had that one Giants DB who came in, arms up. I mean, he's doing everything that, like, coaches are telling him to do, and Jaden just kind of, like, smoothly sidesteps him and runs around as almost like he's doing a cha-cha, and then he picks up, like, 8, 9, 16 yards, whatever it was. He is just,
yeah,
he's
it was
so
nine
good.
On, like, a third and 10, or sorry, a second and 10 instead of a third and one, and the guy was Brian Burns, who they traded all that stuff for and paid $30 million. He's no slouch.
It's just remarkable the way that he maneuvers, and he's always so calm. I remember, you know, you take silly phone calls. We take silly phone calls from time to time on the radio. It comes with the profession. And I remember there was a guy that called into us, and he was like, Jaden is too laid back. And I was like, what do you mean he's too laid back? He's like, I don't think he gets pumped up enough. I love the fact that he is on the same wavelength the entirety of the game. And he'll talk some trash with Malik Nabers, and I actually kind of think that's fun. And he is a trash talker, but the way that he handles everything at such a good pace, and the dime to Terry. You know, I thought the first throw was really good. I mean, that was perfect placement, quick slant. You throw it right at the feet where the DB can't get it. But that dime on the second touchdown,
it's ridiculous. Also embarrassing for Deontay Banks.
Oh, my God. I didn't see. Did he go on Instagram Live after this one, or he let that one go?
I think he probably was keeping
it. He probably should have put the phone away if he did. That felt really, really good. I mean, oh, man, that dude ran
Terry
his mouth
with
so
the too
much.
Small, too.
He hit him with the too small. The social media team got after it, too. The social media team for the team this year has been on fire. I mean, they're on a Hall of Fame kind of run right now.
Bro, they've had – I don't know how many of them have been around the last 4 years, but if they did, they prepared 4 years' worth of winning stuff just in case, and now they're just like, unload the clip.
I mean, they
never got to use this material.
They got so much in the chamber right now. It's so great.
It's so great. A couple other just things real quick on the way out. Brandon Coleman returned. Nice first full game from him. Seemed to go pretty well. Obviously, we talked about some of the rushing success. He was a big part of some of that and some of the pulling and things that he was doing, but also the team gave up no sacks, and that against the New York Giants is really impressive. They gave up 5 in the first game, by the way, and the Giants have 35 on the year, 0. So Brandon Coleman, clearly a part of that. We'll take a closer look at him on Tuesday. And then, of course, all eyes on the trade deadline. That's the big thing for right now. Had the Adam Schefter report last night, earlier today, whatever that was, that players are apparently telling their agents, like, I want to be in Washington. Welcome to the new reality, everybody. So we might have some stuff to talk about. We'll see if it's by the time Denton and Sheehan take the air tomorrow at 10, by the time I'm on the air tomorrow at 4, and then obviously Tuesday, same deal. The Kevin Sheehan Show featuring, of course, Denton Day on 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. And if you are subscribed to the Team 980 on YouTube, you also get digital exclusive extras. Denton does a really cool new feature called Come Into My Office, Denton's Office. So you can check that out on the Team 980 on YouTube. And then, of course, I'm on the Hoffman Show from 4 to 7 every afternoon. That show does stream live all 3 hours on YouTube as well. Although tomorrow, Denton, just 2.5, we're live at Capital One Arena ahead of Warriors and Wizards, although we have Maryland basketball actually coming up on the radio after. But I wanted to go see Steph Curry, so I was like, I would like to do the show at Capital One Arena. And the boss said yes. But we will be talking football from Capital One Arena tomorrow, 4 o'clock. See you then. And then, of course, be back with the tape breakdown with Logan on Tuesday. Denton, appreciate you doing this, sir.
Craig, appreciate it, my friend. Let's road to 11 win. Officially, we're officially on.
Hey, we're somewhere on it. We'll see if we can make it to the destination before we run out of gas. But it certainly seems like that is the destination right now. Appreciate everybody watching or listening. Subscribe. And if you're watching on YouTube, hit that like button as well. And we'll see you next time on Take Command.
Blinds.com is kicking off the savings early with Black Friday mega deals all month long. Avoid the home renovation overwhelm. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings is a small project with big results. And Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. It's a busy season. Skip the long lines or waiting around all day just to get a quote. With Blinds.com, shopping online doesn't mean sacrificing on quality, style, or service. A Blinds.com design expert can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. We can even handle everything from measure to install. And you can get window treatments for your whole home installed for just one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Shop Black Friday mega deals all month long at Blinds.com. Get up to 45% off site-wide, plus premium doorbusters, and a free professional measure right now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.